two things. Today, I just found out this week, and I didn't know, shame on me, that today is Youth Pastor Appreciation Day. And we are privileged here. We have Brother Tom, who has done a tremendous job working with our young people. Matter of fact, tonight they're leaving, driving all night to get to, we didn't know where you were going this morning, Kentucky, right? So heading to Kentucky tonight. But then we have Brother Tutt as well over in the bus ministry, working hard, leading the youth ministry there. So we have a gift from our family to the two of you guys. So if you could come on up real quick. You got to squeeze out of there. I don't know how you're going to get out. You're like stuck in the middle there. And you guys know which one is which, right? All right. If not, you'll know when you open it. But we got each of these guys a suit. We appreciate their work, and from our family to yours and to you for all of your work. We also have a card here, Brother Tom. That's for you. And just to thank you, we can give them a hand. So. All right, too much love going on there. They got enough speeches, so give them. All right, these guys. All right. So, praise the Lord. I guess they'll show you those later. And we appreciate both of these guys. They work hard and leading the youth ministry, and we appreciate all that they do. Job chapter number 1, many have asked about the fire inspection, the fire marshal being here on Thursday. I mentioned Wednesday night we had summer cleaning. We have closet appreciation night, and diligently made everything disappear. By the way, if anything goes in there, it will disappear. And they are the way that they need to be, and the fire marshal reminded me, this is the way they need to be and the way they need to stay, because if I come here impromptu and it's not like this, then you're in trouble. But here's the deal. The Lord worked it out very on Thursday morning. I got here. I kind of generally knew when he was supposed to be here, and he didn't show up. And I was busy doing work, so I really wasn't like, you know, tapping my fingers and where's this guy at. But by about 1 o'clock, I was beginning to wonder if my stay here at the church was in vain. And so I called and found out that the fire marshal that was assigned to us called in sick. And I said, well, that's nice. I didn't know that. And they said, well, we thought you knew. The guy said, well, let me see if I can get somebody else over there. And he said, I'll call you back in about 10 minutes. Well, just like the county, about 45 minutes later, I hadn't gotten a call. So I called back and I said, hey, just checking to see if you found anyone. And I heard him talk to somebody in the background. I heard the guy say, I'll go over there and take care of it. At least, in his words, get it started. Didn't know if they would be able to finish it as far as the inspection. So he came over. He, very nice guy. We began to walk the building. There were some small things, very, very small things. In fact, appreciate my brother jumping in and taking care of some of the things already. But we got down in the basement. We were going down the stairs, and he looked at me. He said, what kind of church is this? I said, well, it's an Independent Baptist church. He said, I go to an Independent Baptist church on the Eastern Shore, Eastern Shore Baptist Church. I live over there in Kent Island. And I said, is that Brother Ritiker? He said, yes. So he goes to Brother Ritiker's church. And the Lord opened the doors. God made someone sick so we can get the right fire marshal. And so we do still have some work to do. Probably by next week, we have some door issues Brother Bill's working on. But once those are done, we should be able to get that part of it. Do be in prayer. There's a little bit of a sticking point with preschool and daycare is whether they are required or not to have a sprinkler system. I've told them it's not required. It's not required, you know. And so I talked to a fire engineer on Friday about it, and they're supposed to get back to me this week. And just pray that the Lord opens that door. I've got the answer at least the answer I'm going to give them, if they say it is, I'm going to say, show me in the statute because it's not there. I read it. It's amazing what you can read online. It's not there. So if you're making it up, you can't enforce it. So just pray that that all works out because I don't want to battle. I'd rather not fight about it. I'd rather them say, no, you don't need it. So just pray the Lord gives us favor. So far, He has. And pray the Lord opens doors and we are able to get that started and get things rolling with that ministry. We appreciate all the work that's been done. Bill and Joanne have done a monumental amount of work. And there are, you know, I just like going around opening a door and watching it close again. Just open a door, watch it close again. Open it, watch it close again. And it closes right. I don't have to do my running back into the door to get it open. You know, it's just be able to look out the window and see who's there so I don't kill anyone as you go outside. It's just a blessing. And I appreciate all their work. And we couldn't have done it without them. Job chapter 1 tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about the story of Job. A couple weeks ago, I preached a message on Job. I don't want to re-preach that message. I want to focus on the end of the story. But in order to get to the end, we certainly have to remind you about the rest. And I want to do that this morning and tonight and look at some things here. Hopefully be a blessing. There's a book out there. I looked online and I was reading through it a little bit. It's called The Worst Case Scenario Handbook. That book is a book that you might want to look at the information for yourself, and there are some chapters in that book that give you the answers to the what ifs, how to escape from quicksand, how to hotwire a car. We should probably hide that chapter. Maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we should give that to all of our bus captains. I'm not sure the way keys happen around here and all that kind of stuff. How to fend off a shark. How to escape from a bear. Bill needs that. Maybe Johnny needs that, and Bill's okay. How to escape from a mountain lion. How to survive a poisonous snake attack. Brother Robert probably wrote that. How to wrestle free from an alligator. How to survive if your parachute fails to open. I don't plan on jumping out of any working airplanes, Lauren Colicello. I don't plan on doing that. How to survive an earthquake, how to survive when adrift at sea, how to win a sword fight, how to jump from a moving car. I don't plan on doing these things. But it goes through all of these chapters on talking about what do you do if you're in this situation. You know, oftentimes, Brother Tom, you probably realize this, Brother Tut, those who have gone to Bible college, you know, a lot of the things we face in the ministry, there's no class for it. It's like, where I look through my notes at school and I don't see any notes on how to deal with that situation. I do feel like, if you know, that a Bible college needs to have some classes on real life ministry. How to deal with this, all right? And how to survive. And go through that trial, or that trouble, or that, you know, that phone call. But here in the book of Job, Job really gives us the roadmap on how to get through trouble, how to get through some trials. When we look at the story of Job, and you know the story, the Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. He feared the Lord and he hated evil. He loved God and he hated that which was against God. We need that in our day, don't we? We're living in a day where men and women, boys and girls, don't know what is right and what is wrong. And if you tell somebody they're wrong, you're the bad guy. You're judging them. I have news for you. Every day we need to make judgments. We need to judge what is right and what is wrong. The Bible says, and there were born unto him seven sons and three daughters, his substance, and goes through all of these substance. And as you know, Job was a very wealthy man. Yet, tragedy showed up in Job's life. The worst case scenario. during the financial crisis, banks, and they still have to go through testing. They have to be able to withstand financial turmoil, and they go through worst case scenarios. If the market crashes and the economy goes down and there's a run on the bank, which basically means everybody's standing in line at the ATM. Can you survive it? Can you make it through? You know the story of Job. Everything is going wonderful. Job wakes up like any other day and wakes up and tragedy hits him like a ton of bricks. The worst case scenario shows up in his life. But there were some things in Job's life that helped him get through this tragedy. We see the character of Job's life by way of introduction. Job lived a godly life. Job was a man of God. I'll be honest, I don't see how people get through tragedy without the Lord. I don't see how folks go through heartache and don't have God to lean on. Don't have the Word of God to jump into. I believe that's why psychologists and the Dr. Phils of the world are so popular, because the world doesn't know where to turn. We don't have to turn to Dr. Phil, Oprah, or any of these other self-help books. We have the Word of God that we can turn to, that gives us comfort in the time of need. The Bible says he's a very present help in time of need. We see he lived a godly life. He lived a good life. He lived a grace life. A life lived for the Lord is a thing of beauty. You know, when a person dedicates their life to the Lord, it brings them into a position to experience his grace and blessings in a profound and wonderful way. There's nothing in this world that can compare to a life lived in and for the will of God. You know, the Bible still says the way of the transgressor is hard. You know what? The way of the man or woman, the boy or girl that's living outside of the perfect will of God, outside of the commandments of the Scripture, is going to live a hard life. And I will take it further and say this. It's one thing for a lost person to live like a lost person, but it's quite another thing for a saved person, supposed to be bought by the blood of the Lamb, to live like a lost person. Their way is even harder, because they've experienced all that God can be in their life, and they have rejected, they have quenched the Holy Spirit. They're saying no to God. And listen, that person is always going to be double-minded. That person, no matter how far out into the world they get, they're always, if they're saved, going to have the Holy Spirit inside of them, pushing them and prodding them, and they're going to be miserable. I have found the ones that are most difficult as you knock on doors is not that lost one that does not know Christ. It is that one that says, I used to go to church. I used to go to Christian school. I went to Bible college, and yet they're reprobates, and they hate the things of the Lord. We see the character of Job's life. We see the calamities of Job's life. You know the story. His calamities touched his fortune. All that he had, all the wealth that he had, went to zero. I remember one day going to the ATM, and I went in to get $20, and it said insufficient funds. Now, I've had some downtime, but that was way down. It wasn't supposed to be that way. I just got paid, and I realized someone went on a shopping spree over there in Vancouver, British Columbia. I looked at my ATM, and I got the report, and I looked. Somebody went to Foot Locker. I might go to Foot Locker, but I'm not going to Canada. Somebody went to Office Depot. Now I might go to Office Depot, but I'm not going to Canada. Someone went to Staples. I guess Office Depot didn't have it. And they went to Staples, and they bought some more stuff. And my account that was supposed to have money in it was emptied because they went on a shopping spree. You know what? The devil here on Job went on a shopping spree, took all his wealth. Now, in that day, wealth wasn't money, wasn't cash. It was herds, and it was your cattle, and it was your sheep, and it was all of these material possessions. And the more that Job had, the more wealth that he showed. And the Bible says he lost it all. The calamity touched his fortune. It also touched his family. You know, he lost all his children. It even, not only did he lose his fortune. Listen, you could lose all the money you have. As long as you have your family, you're okay. But then he lost his family. And then you could say, well, you know what? He lost all his fortune. He lost his family. But at least he's healthy. And then the devil touched him. And he's laying there on the edge of death. I don't know how he went through it, but by the grace of God. Job lived a good and godly life. Still, calamity came. Listen, many years ago on a Wednesday night, we talked about why do good things happen, bad things happen to good people. Sometimes they do, and that's, Job is an example of it. Job was a godly man. He was a good man. He was doing everything he was supposed to do, yet tragedy and calamity came to his life. He lost his fortune. He lost his family. He lost his fitness. Job lived in anticipation of his worst case scenario becoming a reality. Job went through some things. I read the story about a young boy. He was driving a hay rack. It was a big thing of hay, and he was driving it down the road, and as he was driving down the road, the wagon fell over in front of a farmer's house. The farmer came out and saw that young boy crying and said, son, don't worry about this. We can fix it. Right now, dinner's ready. Why don't you come back in and eat with us, and then I'll help you get the hay rack back up, and we'll put it back together, and we can fix it. And the boy said, no, I can't. My father's going to be angry, very angry with me. The farmer said, no, don't worry. Just come in and have some lunch, and you'll feel so much better. The boy said, I'm just afraid. He said, I'm afraid my father is going to be very angry with me. The farmer, the young boy, went inside, and they had something to eat. And afterwards, as they walked outside to the hay rack, the farmer said, Now, son, don't you feel better after that great meal? The boy said, yes, but I just don't know that my father, just know my father will be angry with me. He's going to be furious with me. The farmer said, nonsense. Where is your father after all? The boy said, he's under the wagon. It would do us good to remember tonight that a good life is not a hedge against trouble. Being godly does not guarantee that you will be free from calamity. We seem to have the idea that when we live right, we are entitled to blessings. This isn't the case. Some of God's most precious saints have endured the greatest of afflictions. We think about Paul and Daniel and the three boys we talked about this morning. We think about David. We think about all of these men. Even the Lord Jesus, what was he called? He was called a man of sorrows. Why should we feel that we are exempted from the difficulty? You know what he promises? He promises to never leave you nor forsake you. He promises to not leave you by yourself in the storm. He promises to not leave you all alone in that valley. He's always present in a time of need. Regardless of what you expect life to bring along, there is never a place in your life alone from God. We see the classroom. This is introduction. We'll get to the message in a moment. We see the classroom of Job's life. He learned lessons about the person of God and the purposes of God and the power of God. I don't have time to develop all of these things, but Job learned some lessons about God as he was going through different trials and different the different calamities as he was dealing with friends that told him, Job, it's your fault. As his wife says, Job, just curse God and die. Get it over with. Be done with this whole thing. While God testified about the godly, good, and grace life of Job, God knew there were areas of Job's life that needed attention. Therefore, to work on these areas, God sent Job to the classroom of affliction. How many tonight have said, I've been to the classroom of affliction? I've gone through some trials. I've gone to class. I might have a doctorate degree by now on the troubles of life. I might have a master's degree on affliction. Listen, he learned that no area of life is safe from difficulty or disruption. He learned that God's purpose in trial is not to break us. Listen, God's purpose for allowing you to go through trouble is not to destroy you, but to grow us, to help us learn. He does not want to punish us, but to perfect us. It wasn't God's intention for Job to curse him and die. It was God's intentions for Job to get through this trial and for him to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." He learned what Job learned, that God's purposes and plans for our lives are often beyond our comprehension. What God does and why he does it are things better left with him. Because I don't have the answers. If you come to me and you say, why did God do that? I probably can't answer some questions about why God does what he does. But I do know his way is perfect. I do know he can be trusted. I do know he can be depended upon. I do know all things work together for good. I do know these things. Now, I know them, but sometimes I don't understand them. I know them in my mind. Why? That what the scripture says. But I really don't understand why some things happen the way they do. I don't know why Job had to go through this. But I do know Job was being taught. I do know Job is learning some lessons. He learned that God is absolutely sovereign in all of life. He learned that God, even in the trouble, God's still in control. Even through the valleys, God's still in control. Don't think for a second that God has lost control of this society. That God has lost control in this generation. God is in complete and utter control. There are no emergencies with God. He knows the way that we take. Job learned that in the end, all things work out right. The Bible is clear when he tells us the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. In the end, all of life's ups and downs will be perfectly blended into just what God intended for us in the first place. What I want to get to tonight is in Job 42. Job chapter 42. I don't know about you, I wasn't the greatest of students. I just wasn't. I read a lot, and I was one of those guys who studied on the way to school. I got good grades. It seemed like all of the big tests, Brother Sheffield, were on Tuesday, and it was something important going on Monday night, Monday night football. This happened to be always the case. Yes, Howard Cosell. God bless him. And I had a wonderful plan. I got off work, came home, ate something, came on at 9 o'clock, right? I studied. I'm going to study up to the time for the game, Brother Terry. And then I'll study during the commercials. Never seemed to work out that way, because the commercial times were go bathroom break, get something else to eat. Then you think, I'm going to study at halftime. But you know what? The problem was the halftime had all of the replays from the Sunday's games. And you know, I'm in church. I don't see all the replays. You know what? I'm sorry, young people. This was before ESPN where they replayed it 1,000 times. You know what? You guys are blessed. You have the NFL channel. What's that thing you have, Bill? The red zone. I mean, the red zone is like, it's like lights from heaven for the NFL. It's red zone. You don't have to watch any of the punts. You don't have to watch any of the second downs when they run for a yard. You only get the scores and when they're in the red zone. If you don't know about football, I'm sorry. I'm just a little excited. Football season's upon us. We're in training right now. And I remember studying, and I tried, and you know, by the time we got to the third quarter, the game was winding down, and so was I. And I didn't quite get to where I needed to be. One of the things that I learned early on is I love to read summaries. When book reports were due, I'd read the summaries. God bless Cliff Notes. I loved them. I used to read them all. You know what? You young people are blessed. You have the internet. We didn't have this internet. Thank God Al Gore created it. Praise God. So I couldn't go to the internet and find out somebody else that did the book report and read their report and figure out how to do it without showing that I'm plagiarizing. Yeah, I know what you guys do. But I remember, I always like reading summaries. And you know, the scripture gives us some summaries of life, some conclusions. And, there are some in my family that if you watch a movie, they want to watch the end and then figure out, they don't have patience to watch through. They have to watch the end and they know all the, and then they're sitting there saying, you want to know? You want to know what happened? No, I don't want to know what happened because I'm sitting here vegetating for an hour just so you to tell me right when we're supposed to, right. So, thank you, Bob. So here in Job 42, we kind of fast forward to the end of this story and see what happened. You know, it's easier for us to look at the story of Job because, your brother Tom, we know the other end. Job didn't know what was going to happen in his life. He didn't know when his wife said, curse God and die. You know what? He might have at the moment said, no way, Jose. But he might have just said, if this keeps going on, I don't know how much more I can handle. But we see in Job 42, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Let me repeat that tonight for those that are discouraged, that are kind of downtrodden, that are a little depressed tonight. He says, I know that thou canst do everything. It doesn't matter what you're going through tonight. Doesn't matter what trial you're facing tonight. Doesn't matter how impossible it looks tonight. Job said, I know thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak, and I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Wait a minute, Job. You're the one that went through trial. You're the one that went through this difficult time. And Job realized it for what it was, that because the blessings of God, he had what he had. And even in the face of God, he still was wicked and undone and not deserving of God's blessing. And Job says, Lord, I realize I abhor myself and I repent. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, and my servant Job hath. Let me say tonight, you better be very careful how you deal with your fellow Christian and what kind of influence you give and what kind of criticism you give and what kind of counsel you give to those around. Listen, I fear for those that put an edge about the people of God and try to put a wedge between those that are trying to serve God. Hey, listen, God said, hey, wait a minute, Eliphaz, you're in trouble. My wrath is kindled against you. You're in trouble because you were wrong And Job was right. Job didn't sin. Job was right in the center of the will of God. Let me say, sometimes the valleys of life are the center of the will of God. Sometimes going through storms are the center of the will of God. And God said, hey, my wrath is kindled against you. Therefore, he says, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job will pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you against your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. You know what he's saying? Hey, you lied about me. You didn't tell the truth about what was going on. You didn't have enough common sense to realize what was really happening in Job's life. Hey, listen, be very careful about sharing your opinions. Well, if I were you, well, you're not you. If I was this person, I would run this. No, you're not that person. Focus on your responsibilities. Focusing on doing what you're supposed to do well. God's given your family to you. Focus on your family. You don't need to raise someone else's child. And so the Bible says in verse 9, so Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and that guy, the Naamathite, what kind of name? God changed their names. They went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. That's a pretty good position for Job to be in. God said, I'll take what Job has. You guys, you messed up. I don't want to even hear from you. What'd you say, Bob? Knuckleheads. Okay. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. You know what's a blessing there? At verse number 10, these guys got under Job's skin, got in Job's business, discouraged Job, caused him to be on the edge of death. And yet when God went to him, and when these guys went to him, what did Job do? The Bible said Job prayed for them. You know who was spiritual? Job was spiritual. You know who wanted the things of God? Job wanted the things of God. Job could have looked at him and said, nah, I'm not praying for you. You guys caused me trouble. You caused me all kinds of problems. I'm laying about to die, and you're in my ear saying it's your fault. Why don't you just go and sacrifice yourself? Get rid of this whole thing. The Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren, and all his sisters, and all that had been of his acquaintances before. Did eat bread with him in his house. They bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. Look at verse 14. Verse 14 is what I want to talk about tonight, only in a few minutes. And he called the name, verse 13, he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of the first, Jemima, the name of the second, Kezi, and the name of the third, Karen Habich. Don't name your children these names. Let's dismiss. No. But, you know, I mentioned this in a sermon maybe a couple months ago, and it's been in my mind, and I've been thinking about this, and I've been letting this going through it in my mind about what this really means. You know, these little girls to him were very precious to Job. The Bible says, in all the land there was no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. Now, that's an unusual situation. Because the boys were the ones that were supposed to get the inheritance. But God directed, and Job directed, that his three girls, these three daughters, be given an inheritance. That wasn't custom. That wasn't normal. That wasn't supposed to be the situation. But for some reason, Job looked at these three daughters, and they were, and these daughters were special to him. And the Bible says there were none fairer. These are pretty girls. that God had given to Job, and they were special to him, and so he gave them an inheritance. And I want to look tonight at these three girls and their names. Because I believe each of these girls, as they walked into their daddy's presence, reminded them of some things that God had done for Job. That reminded him of God getting him through the calamity and the trials and the difficulties that he went through. You know, Jemima is a name that we hear. We've heard that name before. You know, this name indicates that God had given Job day in place of his night and peace in the place of his turmoil. Every time that little girl, Jemima, walked into his presence, Job was reminded that God took a dark situation and blessed them with light, with day. That no matter how difficult the time would come, Job knew if I just keep on being faithful, that weeping endureth for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Listen, I don't know where you're at tonight, but you might be in a dark time. You might be going through some of the most difficult times of your life. But I know when I look at this story, I know that Job, every time he looked at his little daughter Jemima, it reminded him that God was able to take a dark time and turn it into day. That he was able to take a tumultuous time in his life and give him peace and replace it with peace. As we look at this little girl, we think about, Job and all that he had gone through. Losing his finances, losing his family, losing his health, and now God has replaced it all. And I don't believe that these names were by accident. Job looked at that little girl and said, "Your name's Jemima." You know why? Because every time I see you, I'm reminded that in place of night, he gives me peace. That he gives me a peace that passeth all understanding. You know what that means? He gives us a peace that your coworkers at work don't understand. He gives you a peace that your lost family members can't see. He gives you sight for spiritual things. I believe that's what Job had. The Bible says, Job said, "When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Every time Job looked at this little girl, he was reminded of the peace of God. He was reminded, if I can face what I face, go through anything. I look across the room tonight, and I know many of your stories. You could get up and you could testify of the goodness of God, even in the trials, even in the storms, even in the difficulties, that God was faithful to give you grace and give you His presence and to give you exactly what you need, and that when you prayed and you sought the Lord, that He always answered exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, what we ask or even think. And that's, I believe, what Job was saying. Job looked at this little girl and he said, how can I but have faith in God? Because he took care of me. We see the second daughter. That second daughter, name was Keziah, indicating that God had replaced Job's sorrow with the sweet smell of his grace. Her name literally means fragrance. You know what? It's the same term that we find when the three wise men show up and they give that frankincense, that sweet smelling savor. It's a reminder to Job about the grace of God. Oh, I've got the peace like a river. Now I've got the grace that only God can give. By the way, grace that I don't deserve. That's why I believe one of the greatest songs ever written, sung tonight, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch. A wretch like me. If you think you deserve the grace of God, your mind's all messed up. Matter of fact, if you use the term deserve in anything relating to the things of God, you've got your position and role all messed up. Unless you're saying, I deserve the judgment of God, I deserve to go to hell and spend eternity separated from God, anything less than that is the grace of God showing up in my life. That's why the Bible says it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faith. Listen, we ought to be thankful tonight that the grace of God is available for you and I in 2016. I'm thankful that those bus kids and those teenagers that showed up this morning, that the grace of God is available for them. It doesn't matter how wretched you may be. It doesn't matter what's in your past. It doesn't matter what you used to be. It doesn't matter how rich you are or how poor you are, what house you grew up in, what family dynamics you are, what side of the track you're on, what language you speak, what color of the skin you are. The grace of God is available. And Job, every time he saw this little girl, realized that God was replacing Job's sorrow with a sweet smell of his grace, that he was replacing in this most difficult time to show Job that his grace was real. The good news is God's grace is available tonight. You might be away from God. You might be a prodigal. Listen, you know, every church has a prodigal or prodigals. You know, we might sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll get in our mind we're the only ones going through difficulty. We're the only church that has some folks that are wayward. That's not the case. Any church that's reaching people is going to have some prodigals. You know what our prayer is for the prodigal? That they come to themselves and they return home and experience the grace of God. Doesn't matter how far the prodigal has left home, the grace of God is still available. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Stop worrying about other people and look in the mirror. You can't control another soul. You can only control you. You can only control your walk with God. You can only control how you deal with situations of life. Job could not control his wife. All he could do was to do right himself. Job couldn't control the situation. All Job could do was to control his reaction. And Job looked at this little girl, named her a name that reminded him of a fragrance, the sweet smell of his grace. I believe every time that little girl walked in, he was reminded of the grace of God. You see, Job look back and remember when he was laying on his deathbed. You see, here's the deal. No one told him about the conversation that God and the devil had together. No one told him that God said, you can do anything, but you can't kill him. You see, we got the whole story. We knew everything. We can read the whole story, and we can make some assessments based on knowing the whole deal. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'd say, well, if I was Job, I would have done this. Job didn't know he was going to live another hour. Job didn't know what was going to happen. He was laying on his deathbed, and now he's got a second little girl. And he said, that little girl reminds me of the grace of God. The grace of God. Listen, when you rise up from the valley, don't forget about the grace of God. When you get through that storm, don't forget about the grace of God. I'm concerned tonight. I'm concerned because I think sometimes we get in the position where we get spiritual when we're going through trial. And when we're on the mountaintop, when everything's going all right, we think we don't need God. And we get in this roller coaster Christianity, this yo-yo Christianity, where we're up and down. And you know what? We're experiencing those G-forces. My wife and I, last year, we decided we were going to go to Texas. Now, pray for our family. We needed some marriage counseling because my wife wanted to go see the Grand Canyon. And I said, honey, it's going to be too hot to go to the Grand Canyon in July. We can't do that. We'll go to Texas. Let's just go to Dallas. I don't know why I even said that. Texas Stadium. Showed up to the airport. Bobby, cowboy stuff everywhere. I almost vomited in the terminal. It was terrible. I'm like, can you just put me back on the plane? Where you want to go? Anywhere but here. So we got out the plane. That was the day after I busted my foot. If you remember, I blame my mother-in-law. I was rolling her out. My sister-in-law, I was trying to get by him, and I rolled my ankle. My foot was swollen. I was walking around limping. It hurt so bad, I couldn't take steps. I went to the urgent care place. They said, we've never seen an ankle that's not broken, as swollen and messed up as this, but it's not broken. I said, well, that doesn't make me feel any better. Can you give me anything? Yeah, we'll give you Tylenol. I'm like, Tylenol, okay. So I'm hobbling. I couldn't even walk through the airport. I had to get a wheelchair. Wheelchair, wheel me through the airport. Going to Dallas. I'm in a wheelchair going to Dallas. I can't even run from the place. It's terrible. And then on top of it, we looked at the temperature, 104. And every day, we'd get up and we look at the temperature, 104 in Dallas, 79 in the Grand Canyon. Every day I'm reminded, my own preaching, listen to your wife. Listen to her. God's given you a helpmeet. You didn't listen, knucklehead. I don't even know why I told you that story. Just confessing my sins, I guess. I'm not sure why. I'm not sure, really. I'll remember later tonight. G-forces, yep. Yo-yo, yes, yo-yo. A lot of people live in ups and downs. Ups and downs. And you know what? You don't have to live that way. I believe we abuse grace. We abuse grace. I've had counseling with folks, and they said, well, we're just going to do such and such, and God's just going to have to forgive me. God doesn't have to do anything. God is not required to be at your beck and call. God's not a celestial Santa Claus that you sit on his knee and just make your request be known. God has some requests as well. And I believe we put ourselves in a position where we don't really appreciate the grace of God. And I believe Job, every time he saw that little girl, was reminded of the grace of God. You see, that first little girl comes in, he's remembered that peace that God gives. That second girl came in, he remembers about the grace of God. And then last, Karen Habich. I don't know why they named her that. But this word was also used to refer to Moses when he came off the mountain with his face aglow with the glory of God. It refers to glory or brightness. The idea here is that Job is praising God for the fact that God had replaced his wretchedness with glory. Job has been restored. I don't know. I mean, I thank God, and I testify tonight, not to say about me, but I thank God I've never drank, never smoked a cigarette, never kissed another woman other than that girl right there after we got married. But I don't understand the prodigal that comes home, that tastes and see of the Lord, and then turn back around and say, I'd rather slop with the pigs. I don't understand the one that says, I know I've had, if you ever had it, steak cooked by Robert Thomas, and then go back and say, I'd rather have McDonald's. Those words will never come out of my mouth. I was talking to, Miss Angie, Brother Jack's sister, the Whiting. They were visiting Brother Jack yesterday. And they both, we don't like seafood. I'm like, you live in Maryland. You need to move. Go to Dallas. They don't have seafood there. If you don't like seafood and you live in Maryland, move so someone who likes seafood can move in. If I were allergic to crabs, I would get an EpiPen, and I would get a straw, and get some Benadryl, and I would drink the Benadryl, eat the crabs, stick my leg with the EpiPen, and I would keep on going for the glory of God. Job gives us some wonderful lessons. You know, listen, if Job can go through what he went through, you can go through what you're going through. And by the way, you say, well, that was a long time ago. If we had time tonight, I guarantee you that we have someone in this room that you may not even realize that can testify that God has gotten them through the very trial that you're going through tonight, that they've come forth as gold. You may not know it. You may not realize it. You may not even be aware of their background, of their situation, of the trials and troubles, and all that they've gone through, but God got them through anyway. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Listen, God will never allow a trial or a temptation to come your way that you can't bear. You know why? He's going to be doing the lifting himself. Listen, we should not wait until we're out of the valley or and on the mountain before we deal with the sins and problems that are in our lives. You know, the reality is their removal might be the object of the valley. Now, Job, his situation was this. I believe he was trying to do right, and God was helped trying to grow his faith. You know, sometimes we go through valleys of our own doing. Sometimes those family members, those friends don't have to say it's because of you. We know. Let's just be straight up with God. We know when we're not right with God. You know tonight whether you are right with God. You know what's holding you back. You know what's keeping you from serving God. You know what's causing you to not have a deeper relationship with the Lord. You know what it is. So why are you holding back? Why are you not yielding to the Lord? You know what's best. You know the Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct thy paths. See, you want the direction without the acknowledging. You want the blessings without the obedience. You want the windows of heaven to be poured out, but you don't want to follow God's instructions. You want to have this and that, but you're not willing to obey the scripture. You want to be encouraged, Don't we all? But you don't want to be an encourager. You want to have friends, but you don't want to show yourself friendly. You want to have ministry and do big things, but you won't do the little things. You want Brother Shank to give you a bus route, but you won't even come out Thursday night visitation. You won't even pass out a tract. You want prestige, but you won't serve him in obscurity. You want public, but you won't serve him in private. You want accolades, but you are not willing to do things even if you don't get the accolades. You want awards, but you won't work for the awards. We're all there. Job was blessed of God. Even in the valley. Job, as he laid on his deathbed with no wealth, no money to pay the doctor bill, no money to buy the groceries, no money to pay the light bill, no money to pay the rent, no money to go and buy the necessities of life. Job, who had lost and buried all of his children. Job, who had lost and laying there and lost his health on the edge of death, was in the center of the will of God. God, I don't like what you're doing. How about the Spirit of God? When you have tried me, I shall come forth as gold. God, examine me. If it is I repent. But if this is of you, I rejoice. I want to grow. Job is a reminder that the valleys of life are merely God's classroom. Every night, no doubt, as Job got those three little girls together, he was reminded. He was reminded of God's peace. Even in the dark times, he was reminded of the grace of God. He was reminded of God's glory. Can I say tonight, if you're doing something, Woodlawn Baptist Church, for your glory, you got it all wrong. If you're running your bus route for your glory, you got it all wrong. It's for His glory. If you show up to church, God, I'm here now. You can start. Our spirit is wrong. I don't have to serve God. I get to. It's a wonderful privilege. As we learned this morning, going to cost you. Those fishermen left all that they had. They left a full day's catch, good amount of pay, good career. But they said, I'd rather be fishers of men. Tonight, we need to be reminded when restoration has been achieved, look for a way to praise God for the time you spent in the valley. Thank Him for your Jemima and your Keziah and your Karen Habich. Regardless of how dismal and dark the valley, He was always there. He was always there. No matter how bad things become, remember they'll not last forever. I feel like I just got out of high school sometimes. Not all times, so I'm feeling older. But do you remember? You remember the drama you went through in high school? I honestly, Lorraine, I don't remember any of the drama. I can't remember any particular situations. But I do remember being stressed at times. But guess what? All that drama and all that concern passed. I remember not having any money for my school bill and being called into the principal's office saying you can't come back to school if you don't pay your school bill. I don't need to worry about that anymore. I finished school. I remember going through trials at different workplaces. I remember being on the edge of losing my job, and I remember getting a call from a manager, and it was a Christian fella, and he said, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. All I know is all that we were concerned about has been reversed, and I think we need to praise God. I had some sleepless nights over that. But guess what? I don't need to worry about that anymore. Listen, whatever trial you're going through, it'll come to an end. God will get you through. Just stay faithful. Remember, I believe what got Job through the rest of his life is every time he saw those three little girls that grew up to be beautiful women, I believe he remembered the encouragement that he got. I believe, Bubba, maybe I'm false doctrine, maybe I'm not properly interpreting the scripture, but I think their names and the encouragement they got caused Job to say, they're going to get inheritances. I'm going to give them an inheritance. I know it's not normal, but those three girls got me through. They encouraged me. They reminded me. They kept me on track. Tonight, if you're going through a trial, be encouraged. Because he's faithful. Let's bow for prayer. So Ms. Tamara comes and plays. The altar's open. You come. Do business with the Lord. Would you come tonight? One more moment.